We'll do verse number 10. Asaktiranabhishvangah putradara grihadishu nityam cha samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu. Asakti is detachment, non-attachment. We'll talk about that. Anabhishvangaha putradara grihadishu. Anabhishvangaha means non-identification with son, wife, home, etc. Adi means etc. Putradara, putra is son, dara is wife, griha means house. Nityam, nityam is permanent, always. Cha, sama chittatvam. Chitta means mind, it's sama, is balanced, is equanimous, even-minded. When? Ishta, anishta. Ishta means what I want. Anishta means what I don't want. Upapattishu. When? Upapatti means when I get something I want, I get happy. And when I don't get something I want, I become unhappy. So, no, the ability to stay calm in both situations are additional value. So, we did three values in the last one, and then we'll do three more today. So, detachment, like she said, the ability to detach. Now, what is the difference between, you know, the sense organs, you know, not being involved in the sense objects and being detached? They are both two sides of the same coin. The sense organs go out and then they start, you know, looking at objects and then I want. And so the mind, when it starts running out into the sense organs, then it gets, you know, wanting more and affecting more. Detached means that even the desire to acquire the sense objects is not there. One is that that's called shama and dama. Shama is control of the mind. Dama is control of the senses. One is that you control the senses and say, you know, this thing is not good for me. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to do it. But in your mind, there is still a desire, you know, that sweet I want to have, or that jewelry I want to buy, or that money I want, or that, you know, that you have to sit down and say, do I need that? You know, I have so many clothes in my closet that I haven't worn. Do I need more clothes? Do I need more jewelry? Do I need more shoes? Do I need another car? If my car is running fine just because the neighbor bought a better car, do I have to go out and spend $50,000 or $40,000? No, I am fine. So when the mind is thinking about the objects, but you are forcibly withdrawing from it, that is called mithyachara sa uchyate in Gita. Sri Krishna says that person is a hypocrite. In his mind, the desire is there, but to show off to the world, she is saying, I don't need this. I don't care. But even when the mind itself is not even thinking about, so that can come by practice. You have to train the mind. You have to train the mind and say, look, mind, it's okay. You have spent last 30, 40 years in desiring objects. Now start desiring the Lord. Shift your attention. You know, instead of saying, I should get more of this or more of that, today I'll do more of the mala. I did 5 japas yesterday. Today I'll do 7. So you can turn your, there is a very great saint who says that you can turn all your sense organs, you know, instead of saying I want more money, you say, okay, I want more. Today I'm going to chant the name of the Lord in 100 times or chant 200 times. Yesterday I read only half an hour. Today I'm going to read for an hour. Just, you know, last 1 week I haven't gone to the temple. This week I'll go to the temple 2 or 3 times. So as you shift the direction, instead of being jealous about people, you say, I'm jealous about that. Not jealous in the sense in a negative way, but that person is spiritually progressing. Why am I not? So you look at others and say, I want to be like him. So instead of saying, I want to have as good a car like him, but you see somebody spiritually evolving, I also want to be like that. I also want to be as close to God as he is. So transfer your jealousy to the Lord. Transfer your anger. Instead of getting angry at somebody else, you get angry at yourself. Why can't I get up in the morning and meditate? Or why can't I, you know, do spiritually? Anger does not mean put yourself down, but all your gun ferai hain, that's the correct word, all your gunas, you shift them. Instead of shifting them to worldly objects, you shift them to the Lord. And all your abilities are now focused on getting the Lord. So the mind has to be changed. And that's why it says attach and detach. Swami Chinmayananda used to say, detach from the world. And then only you can attach to the higher. As long as I am attached to the world, I cannot be attached to the higher. So detach from the world and attach to the higher. We all have the same 24 hours in the day. Nobody is born with 36 hours or 48 hours or 25 hours. So how much time am I spending in spiritual pursuit? You know, there is a certain amount of time we have to do in our work, certain amount of time we have to do in our personal hygiene and, you know, all that, certain amount of time for relaxation. But then each one of us has certain amount of time that is available to us. So do I spend that in spiritual pursuits, or do I spend that in worldly, material pursuits? So slowly, as my time, as I am more comfortable and financially I'm doing okay, start spending a little less time at work, a little more time in spirituality, a little more time in, you know, reading good books and remembering the Lord and meditating, maybe going on, you know, spending time with Swamiji's when they come. They have beautiful camps at PRC for 1 week. Go and spend time. I think you have been there. A lot of us who have gone there really have enjoyed that. So spending time in the company of saints, this, like if you go for 1 week camp, you are exclusively from morning to night only hearing that, and you are immersed in that atmosphere. So as you do more and more, you develop this detachment for the world. And then they say, watch the world like a movie. Shakespeare said it beautifully, all this world is a stage and we are all actors. And we are. This world is a stage and we are all actors. And whatever job you have been given, do it to the best of your ability. If you look at these great actors, whether Charlton Heston or Dilip Kumar, or I know most of the older ones, but maybe even Shah Rukh Khan and whoever, whatever role they do to the best of their ability, but they never forget that I am not this role, I am the actor. If the person is playing the role of a king in the movie, and then he goes home and says, Jahan pana aa gaye hain, hamare joote lae jaye. He says, I have come, now may my shoes be brought. If he goes and tells his wife will give him shoes, but on the head. So, why? Because he was the king on the set, and on the set he can say that, you know, may my shoes be brought, and three people will bring, because he's the king. But inside he knows that I am not the king, I am playing the role of a king. And then next movie he may be playing the role of a beggar or an alcoholic. And you look at Dilip Kumar, every movie he does the role so well. Why? Because he becomes the role. But inside he knows that I am Dilip Kumar, or I am Charlton Heston, or whatever, Shah Rukh Khan, whatever my true nature is. They know that, and they see the role as a role, and they do the best of their ability. They get the Oscar, they get the Filmfare Award, but when they come home, then they go back to their role. So I have to realize that I am that self, and this body is given to me to play a role. So watch the world like a movie. Do the best of your ability, but do not get hooked up on the role. Remember, your home is somewhere else. That's why they say there is no place like Om. There is no place like Om, because Om is where we all have to go. That's what Dorothy also said. There's no place like home, because she wanted to. Actually, Dorothy is a Wizard of Oz is a very, very spiritual movie. If you see the movie from that way, A spiritual seeker wants to go back to her home. And who helps her? The lion, because he needed a heart, so he needed compassion. The scarecrow needed brain. Or am I right? And the tin man needed... The lion needed courage, and the tin man needed a heart. So she needs three things. She needs compassion, she needs courage, and she needs the right knowledge. When she gets all three, when she gets the right knowledge, when she gets compassion, the heart, and when she gets courage, you know, to bravely move on the spiritual path, then she realizes, the witch tells her, that you had the ability all along. All you had to do was tap your feet and you could reach home. So we all have the ability to reach God, because God is closest to us than anything else. He's not far away. We have that ability. We just don't have the knowledge. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have love and compassion for all. And we don't have courage to walk on this path. Once you do, then the guru will come and tell you, you already have that. The ability to reach home you always had, because God is with you. You are that. So that's why this teacher, that's the value of the guru, that he comes and tells us that the Lord you are seeking is already in your heart. Just turn your attention. Kabir Das Ji has a very beautiful song, Ghoongat Ke Pat Khol Tohe Piya Milenge, or Mirabai actually, some people have ascribed that. He says that there is a veil of ignorance, you know, just as in India, the newborn bride, she wears a veil. Even here, you know, they wear a veil. And the idea being that when she lifts the veil, then she'll see her beloved. So we are caught in this veil of vasanas, of ignorance. And all we have to do is lift up that veil of ignorance and you'll meet the Lord of your heart, the beloved, who is always with you. So that is what they say, that detach. And then once you do that, once you discover the Lord within, then you develop compassion for all, love for all. Because you see that my beloved Lord is in everybody. Now to answer your question, you know, why Buddha left his wife and son and went on the spiritual path. To do anything great, you have to sacrifice. You know, like a businessman. Now a businessman working 14 hours a day, leaving his wife and children at home. We don't say that's wrong. We don't criticize him. He says, it's okay, you know, he's making money. I have to do that. But for spirituality, if somebody leaves, why did he leave his wife and child? A freedom fighter, you know, a person who is like in the army, you know, who is fighting, and they are in the Navy. They post him for like 6 months, a year and 2 years. He has to leave his wife and child. We say, that's okay, you know, for the good of the country, he has to do it. And the poor wife and child are home. So if somebody is okay to leave for material, for money, or for the nation, if one leaves for spirituality, that's even a higher goal. That's number one. That he left because he had this higher goal of spiritual evolution. Secondly, he didn't abandon his wife and children on the roadside, you know, to die and suffer. He left them in the palace where they were under the care of his father, living in the best of comfort and the best of luxury. Thirdly, if Buddha had stayed home and become a king and taking care of his subjects and taking care of his wife and children, then, you know, a few people would have benefited. He was a good king. But by becoming Buddha, you know, billions of Buddhists, not only Buddhists, even we are talking about him, and we are not Buddhists. So billions of people have benefited from his teachings, from his example. So that is the idea, that for a higher cause, if you have to sacrifice, It's acceptable. Like Mahatma Gandhi, now his children, none of them turned out very good. And they say, you know, and his children, in fact, one of them said that when we grew up, we were very unhappy because our father was never home. Either he was in jail or he was, you know, fighting against the British. And they grew up miserable. So if Mahatma Gandhi had stayed home and said, okay, I'm a lawyer, I'm going to get a job as a lawyer, going to work 8 hours and stay with my children and watch their education, then, you know, he would not have fought for the freedom of the country. So it does happen, but I think if your intentions are noble, one is, like you said, if somebody doesn't want to take care of the wife and children and he hears this, putradara grihadishu, you know, he hears that, he says, that's what I wanted. and Krishna has given me freedom, I can leave my wife and children and go away, then that is escapism, where if you don't want to work, you are escaping. But if your goal is higher, then it is acceptable to sacrifice. Okay, that brings us to the next one. Anabhishvangaha putra dara grihadishu. Non-identification with son, wife, home, etc. Now this one people will start immediately. What? You mean I should run away from my wife and my son and my home? No, we are not saying that. Krishna nowhere he's telling that. In fact, in our scriptures, the family is the important unit. The family is the place where you have been placed for spiritual growth. There are very few people like Shankaracharya or Buddha or all who have that kind of vairagya, that kind of detachment that they can leave. But most of us are in the family to evolve. And the kind of family you have been given, the kind of wife you have, the kind of husband you have, the kind of children you have, the atmosphere where you are born in is all meant to spiritually evolve. So the family is a unit for spiritual evolution. That's why they say the family that prays together stays together. Because when together the whole family is on the spiritual path, then the growth is much faster for everybody. So the family has to be taken as a unit. So what he's saying is non-identification with son, wife, home, etc. is that there should be a healthy relationship. A lot of times we take love as, you know, constricting. We want to hold on to that person. We don't want our child to go to college. And people do that. In fact, I know one couple, when their daughter went to college, the mother took an apartment in the building just outside the college so she could be with her. And that is unhealthy, you know, because your child is now growing, let her go. You know, she's growing up. Now let her fly, you know, like a bird who is flying free. The mother doesn't chase after the bird to see if she's flying okay or not. Yeah, she's learned. I mean, some amount of love. Of course, you have to help take care of them. If they go to college, they need help financially. If emotionally the daughter is under stress, you help her out. Whatever they need for their, you know, and then be a source of support. Now when they have grandchildren, then again grandparents are required to go help. So you provide that, but you do not constrict them. You let them grow. Because it is time for them to grow. Your parents, you know, we left our parents and came here. If they had held on to us, we would have still been in India. But they told us, okay, if it's for you to grow, you can move, you can go to America. So do not have an unhealthy relationship where you are constricting and not allowing that other person to grow. Because what that does, it leads to dependence. Where I depend on that person for my happiness, the person depends on me for her happiness. So then mutually what is happening is you are, each one is constricting the other, not allowing them to grow. So it should be a healthy relationship. And it's not I and mine, like I said before. You know, the children are not mine. I was just the plate on which the children appeared. And if they are good or bad, you know, it is their prarabdha. It is their luck. I did my best. We are not saying that you have to, you do your best, but at the end of the day, do not have identification, so much identification that, oh, if my child does good, I am happy. If my child does, I mean, of course, you have to participate in the joys and sorrows, but do not become so disillusioned and so sorrowful or so happy that you become arrogant and all that. So have a healthy relationship. Between husband and wife, the same thing they say. If you love something, let it go. Because if it was not yours, it will never come back. And if it is yours, it will come back to you. You know, there's a famous line in some movie. So that is what they mean. That have a healthy relationship, a relationship of mutual growth. That we are here to make each other grow, to make each other better. You know, husband and wife, husband and children, mother and children. And not making them dependent. And be alert and watch your mind. Is my mind getting attached, getting dependent, that without this thing I am miserable, I am unhappy? And somebody asked Raman Maharishi, you know, Bhagwan, you know, for you it is easy because you left the family and you came and you became a sannyasi. But for us grahasthas, you know, for us householder, it is so hard. You know, we have to take care of the wife and the children and the business and the work. So Raman Maharishi says, it says, being a householder or being a sannyasi is a state of mind. It is not the position you are in. You could be in the forest and you could be so attached to your, you know, to your few possessions, and you could be all the time thinking that, you know, you may not grow. And on the other hand, you may be functioning in the world totally without any attachment, without any. So while living in a family also you can grow. You can grow spiritually, you can evolve. Just have a healthy relationship. Do not have excessive over-dependence. And there is actually a beautiful story of Janaka. Maybe I'll tell it here. It's a very nice story. Janaka was Sita's father and he was a king. He was a rich, very, very powerful king. And Shukdev Muni was Vyasji's son. And so Shukdev said, I need a guru. You know, so Vyas, of course, you know, was the guru of all gurus. But obviously people don't want to learn from their father. So I need a guru. She says, okay, go learn from Janak. He said, Janak? He's a king. What am I? I want to learn about spirituality. I want to learn about Vairagya. How can I learn from him? You know, he lives in a palace and he sleeps, you know, on a silken bed, and he eats in golden plates, and he has multiple wives, and he has so much money. And you mean to tell me I'm going to learn about spirituality and Vairagya from Janak? His father said, yeah, go and see how he functions. So Janak, there's a very famous story. It is said that once there was a sannyasi, you know, like a renunciate visiting him. And this renunciate was very simple. He had one cloth he would wear, another one he would wash and hang up to dry. And then next day he would change. So he had only two pairs. You know, that's it. So he had washed his one pair and put it on the rope, and the other one he was wearing. So Janak said, you know, let's go meet my guru. His guru was Ashtavakra, a great saint, very knowledgeable. So his guru lived in a small hut outside the town. So they both of them went. And Janak used to walk, you know, when he went to meet his guru, he wouldn't go in a chariot or soldiers or nothing. So the two of them went and they were talking to the guru and asking some questions, and discussion was going on. And suddenly two, three soldiers came running. Maharaj, Maharaj, he said, what happened? He said, your whole palace and treasury is on fire. Everything is going to be burnt. Nothing might be saved. So Janak said, is that so? They said, yeah. He said, are the people working? They said, yeah, they are. We're trying our best, Maharaj, but we don't know what will happen. He said, it's okay. I'm right now talking to my guru. You go ahead and take care of it. When I'm finished, I'll come. And that other sannyasi started running. So Janak said, where are you going? He said, my other cloth is there in the rope. I don't want it to burn. So he was worried about his other, and Janak's whole palace. And he said, I'm talking to my guru now. This is more important. Palace is okay. You guys are taking. So that you can be detached in all situations. And while you could be wearing orange clothes and still be attached. So that's why they say that. Work in life, but do not be attached. Deal with situations. We're not saying that you shouldn't have a house or a car or whatever, but I'm not attached. And last one is, actually all of these values are connected. You practice one, the other one comes. So there is some overlap. So it might look like repetition, but it is good. What I find is that, you know, we have been going to these classes for over 20 years. But still, whenever you listen to Swamiji, you always pick up something new. Even, you listen to their lectures. When we go to PRC for a week or 2 weeks, we try to go every year. You always come with new enthusiasm. And so listening again and again is not a problem. You know, people say, "Arey, bahut sun liya, bahut sun liya." No, it's okay. The more you listen, the more deeper the grooves become. Because we have these deep grooves of materialism. Over years, we have built it up, over lifetimes. So to eliminate those and build in grooves of spirituality, repeated listening is very important. Shravan, Shravan, and Shravan. That's the only thing. Listen with attention think about it when you go home, and then try to practice it. Last one is Nityam cha samachittatvam ishta nishto papattishu. Remaining even-minded when I get what I want or when I do not get what I want. As I said, you have to make your mind with less desire and make your mind tranquil. It is very, very important. Swami Chinmayananda describes this as an air conditioner. In India, you know, if you go there, it is very hot, it is very dusty, and it's very noisy. You know, traffic and people screaming and dust and noise. But if you have your own room and you close all the windows and put on the air conditioning, and you are sitting there in the midst of all the heat and all the dust and all the noise, you are tranquil, you are happy, you are peaceful. Why? Because you have shut all your windows and you have put on the inner air conditioning. So he says, make your mind tranquil and develop the inner air conditioning of inner quietude and inner peace, and close your mind and your sense organs. Do not have them running out. And when you close the doors of your mind, because the mind runs out through the eyes and through the ears, close means not physically close, but do not run out of them, and turn your mind inward. So you're like in that air-conditioned room where the world may be dusty, may be hot, but I am fine. So no matter what is happening in the world, joys and sorrows, success and failure, we are not saying that you don't try your best. You try your best and you do whatever you can, but at the end of the day, I am fine. If I succeeded, I'm fine. If I didn't succeed, as long as I did my best, I'm okay. So that tranquility and that detachment is very important, and that can only happen by reducing desires. When you reduce desires, then your mind becomes unselfish, and that is the secret. That is how you develop Karma Yoga, where you work for others unselfishly, dedicated to the Lord, then your mind is peaceful in all situations. So that is these are beautiful values. I think each one of us should think about them. Any quick questions we have? Yes. No, I think what he means, even people who are having a good life, they still have to go through old age, disease, and death. You may be comfortable right now, but sooner or later you're going to get sick, you're going to get old, you're going to die. So every one of us is on this path of misery. So to recognize that, and only when, if you are saying, I'm fine, I don't mind taking birth, I'll go through punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi jatri jayane. You know that Shankaracharya ji says, it's okay, I like this world. I'm going to, then okay, then keep on suffering. You'll be born, you will die, you'll be born, you will die, you will be born. And I'm not going to change, you know. I'm fine the way I am. I'll enjoy my, you know, drinks, I enjoy my parties, I enjoy my... If that's what you are, then it's fine. But if you say, no, I am not okay with, like Buddha, he was young, he was a prince, but he said, I do not want to get old. I do not want to get sick. I do not want to die. See, he was shown, you know, Buddha was shown an old man. He was shown a sick man. He was shown a dead body. He said, I don't want all of these. So his sarthi says, Maharaj, whether you want or not, you are going to get them. You will get old, you will get sick, and you will die. He said, I don't want to. So he was unhappy with that. Even though he was living a life of a prince, a young man, he had a young wife, beautiful wife, he had a beautiful son, he had the whole kingdom. But he saw that the future for me is unhappy, and I don't want that. That's how he became Buddha. He went beyond that, and he attained that state of nirvana, where even today he is immortal. You know, 2,000 or 2,500 years after he passed, we still remember him. So he didn't die. He went beyond death.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukhbhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om, Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.